has died. Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to Hope is Alive, coming to you live this Wednesday night. And remember, this program is replayed on Friday night on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. So if you miss it here, or if you try to call and it's Friday night, well, that's the replay. Well, good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And glad to be here, and I'll hand the program off to you. If I can do anything, I'll sure be here waiting.
Okay. And I also want to remind everybody that if you don't catch it live on Wednesday or don't catch the rebroadcast on Friday, that the shows are archived. And they've been doing a pretty good job over the years of keeping everything archived. You can go back actually several years worth of archives that's on the ministry. So I want to remind you that it's out there. Because occasionally I'll just go back and hit a show from 7-8 years ago and listen to it, and it's just such a joy and a blessing to hear that. We've got a little bit different program this evening. Pastor Cox had some personal business that he had to attend to, so he couldn't make it this weekend. So what we're going to bring is a testimony and kind of a front-line report of what went on in Branson. And I want to read this scripture right here. This is in Mark 6:12, and it says, they went out and preached that men should repent, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. Now this cross references, of course, to Mark 16:16 of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to us. I'm sorry, starting at 15. And he said to them, go out to all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, remnant out there, we want to let you know that the weekend before, in Branson, we saw the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the power of the Holy Spirit in a way with Scriptures for America that I have personally not witnessed. I have witnessed other parts of it, of the Great Commission. I have witnessed us doing several things of it, but I've never witnessed so much of the power of the Holy Spirit in the Great Commission being just done in one weekend. And it was absolutely just amazing. We had deliverances. We had 10 deliverances, 3 which led to baptism. Baptism, full immersion, water baptism, Acts 2:38 for the remission of sins. And how do I know that those 3 led to it? Because all 3 of them were relatives of mine. And for those out there that are not sure about deliverance, this should be a great testimony and witness to that, because I had been talking to these relatives of mine, my aunt and her 2 sisters. I had been talking to them and talking to them about baptism for over 12 years, that need. And because of them listening to the program of Hope is Alive lately, because I've been on it, and for them for just hearing the calling of the Holy Spirit, I was able to get them to go and do the deliverance process that weekend in Branson. And after we're done, I said to each one of them, "Why tarriest now? Rise and be baptized." And I had the privilege and the opportunity to baptize all 3 of them this weekend. So we just give praise, glory to the Lord. I think this should just be something that people ought to look into and really prayerfully consider, because when you can cast out these spirits, especially this lying, deceiving spirits that are out there that will tell you all the reasons in the world why you shouldn't be baptized, when those spirits are gone, they can clearly hear from the Holy Spirit, clearly hear the Word of God, and clearly hear to obey the command to be baptized. And I just give praise and glory to the Lord that He showed me this works in His Word several years ago, that we've got the training and went forth with it and was able to get some people delivered and baptized. And I know we had some healings. I did not get to witness it, but we had several people prayed over. I know last year we saw a couple of miraculous healings, but I know we had some healings, because we'll have some testimony on that, of men whose shoulders were healed and some other things. That'll be coming next week. That member of the body will be testifying to that. But we're going to have on here in a few minutes Brother Jerry and Brother Kyle. They're going to come on. These 2 men and several others were the workhorses last weekend of deliverance. And we know this was the coordination of the Holy Spirit, because when I live in the Branson area, and when I got there to see everybody Wednesday night, I was not prepared at all to do any kind of deliverance or even organize anything. Neither was John or any of the men. And I immediately had people coming up to me, talking to me about Hope is Alive, asking about ministry, and none of us had even talked about this. Shame on us for not being prepared, being a good Boy Scout and being prepared. But I think it was the Holy Spirit which coordinated that, so we could see His power in working. Because if we had a game plan before we started, we couldn't give all glory to God. And I was just literally overwhelmed at how many people were coming up to me asking for ministry, telling me that that the show has been ministering to them, that they've been listening, that they love the testimonies, because I just wasn't prepared for it. And it was just awesome. I just give praise and glory to the Lord. And I think Richard will probably testify to this. Sometimes when you get on the radio, you just wonder, is there anyone listening? And of course, those thoughts will come from the enemy, and we've got to learn to rebuke them and perish the thought. We've got a great tool we've been taught, perish the thought. And I was able to minister that to, I think, 8 boys, including one of my son and two of Richard's sons, about going through using perish the thought to help them overcome, specifically talk to these young men about the dangers of pornography and lust. And I could tell it ministered to them. You could see it in their eyes. I had another brother in Christ, Leon, with us. He got up and witnessed a little bit to him, and he was out, actually took them through the whole teaching of it. So I want to encourage parents out there that if you haven't done that prayer to take you through, where you actually enter a covenant with Jesus Christ, that whenever you say the 3 words, perish the thoughts, you're applying the blood of Jesus to any thought that's not from the Holy Spirit, it's from the enemy. So that was another great testimony, what happened this weekend, that we had this done. And just the whole power of the Holy Spirit, the entire Holy Spirit, just was moving over the entire weekend, coordinating, working, getting baptisms. I think we had a total of 7. Is that correct, Richard?
Yes, we had 7 baptisms over the course of the long weekend, and I think you mentioned 10 deliverances, and still seeing fruit and hearing praises from those. Had a man at the church Sunday that went through it, and he was praising the Lord. He had a deliverance from pain that he'd had for over 5 years. And I think you're going to have him on eventually.
Yes.
But, it was great.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes.
Well, hey, Brother Kyle's on the line a little early. I don't know if you want to go ahead and bring him in. Sure.
Greetings, Kyle.
Get it.
Greetings, Brother Ralph. Greetings, Brother Richard.
Yes, thanks for joining
us.
How
are you? Oh, you're quite welcome. Everything's wonderful, fantastic. Thoroughly enjoyed Branson. And believe me, just it's wonderful just to see how many people just came and found freedom. I mean, and just were delivered from, some of it was generational pains that hurt them from when they were children. And it was just awesome. And, I mean, praise Jesus for such, I mean, proof. It's just beautiful. It's excellent.
It was quite a working of the Holy Spirit the way it was coordinated, because, as I said, none of us had got together and even talked about what we were going to do. I mean, we didn't have a room set aside. We didn't have anything. And the Holy Spirit had brought with each man that was there, does anybody got this sheet? Well, I have this sheet. Well, does anybody have this sheet? Well, I have this sheet. And the coordination of it. I mean, we had Brother Neil that was a little bit prepared, Brother Howard out of Alaska, and Brother Brad, both from Alaska.
Yeah.
We had Sean. And I'm going to get Sean on sometime. We'll probably have to pre-record him. But Sean's transformation is just absolutely amazing. From the first time he came to Oklahoma City, everybody there was basically kind of saying to themselves, and a few had talked, I don't know if he's the right man for being here. But I knew he was the right man because he had contacted me without knowing anything about what we were doing in Oklahoma City, and said the Lord is pressing on me to get through deliverance and get trained. And he did. We got him through that and got him trained. And he was a warrior for Christ that weekend. I mean, he sat back and went through a couple to get a few rides under his belt. And when we said, okay, it's time, we're cutting you loose, and he just jumped right into it. So if you're out there, if you happen to be listening to this, Sean, I'm proud of you. I know the Lord's proud of you. You did a great job. But the bottom, I'd say that the MVP, if we have to give the game ball to someone, it'll have to be Brother Kyle here, because he took the reins when I said, all right, you're going to do it. And he took the reins and worked, and he pretty much set my entire family free. So. I praise you on that. Kyle, if there's anything you want to talk about, of course, you know, we need to keep within private the names, because they're not here to say it. But if there's anything that came up to mind that was really stood out, go ahead. And Brother Richard, just let us know when Jerry's on.
I'll do it.
One of the things I want to give all glory and honor to is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just the vessel that was used to help set the captives free. And, I mean, Lord Jesus Christ gets all the glory and praise. One of the things that I know, like, we did almost 10 people. I think I was in part about maybe 8 or 9 of them. And the one thing that I can tell you that I saw with most of the people that we worked with deliverance was, at first they were apprehensive. They didn't even, you know, I don't know if this is going to work. But once it happens and it starts relieving them, it just, like, breaks free, and they are just, like, filled with the Holy Spirit and all of that negativity, all of those burdens. And one of the things that I can tell you that throughout the many different people we did over the weekend was there's so many of them that were lied to, and they were lied to by the devil, because he's here to lie, kill, steal, and destroy. So many of them told them that for past things that happened in their lives, that it was their fault, that they can never be healed, that they needed to be punished and tormented and things such as that. They had no power. And as we started working with the deliverance and allowing the Holy Spirit just to come through and speak and show them that there is another way. And the biggest thing, too, is I know you bring it up a lot of times, it is forgiveness. And forgiveness is a huge sticking point with a lot of the people that do come in for deliverance, because they may think, well, I did forgive this person, but I didn't. And it's just some of those little legal rights when you do not forgive somebody that can hold on to setting the captives free. And I know there was a few people that I talked to where they had some problems, and especially is with parents, where the parents weren't the best parents when they were growing up. They had problems where they weren't loved much, or shown what love is that a parent should show to a child. And a lot of this hurt just sat there for so, so long, and it just kept them down. And one of the things I do remember was there was one gentleman that I talked to, and I told him, this is something where you really need to think about it and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to show you how to forgive, what love's all about, and putting his will, thy will, instead of your will or anybody else's. And I'm going to tell you, that gentleman was one man when he came in, and a few days later, he was a totally different man, and he had, like, light coming out of him. I mean, full of joy, happiness, totally, totally different person. And even talking about unforgiveness, I know there was this, with a few of the people that I was ministering to, there was this one person that was this person that was this huge sticking point. And a bunch of them had some unforgiveness with this person. I said, you really need to let it go. You just have to let it go. It's not your fight to fight. It's Lord Jesus Christ's fight to fight. Put it in his hands. Give it over to him. And when they did that, they were happy, full of joy, smiles ear to ear, and I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, praise Jesus. So that's one of the biggest things that I can tell anybody. Forgiveness is king. If you can forgive, that's more than half the battle right there, because that is one of the things that so much of us as Christians today, we think we can forgive, but we really can't forgive. But when we can finally just forgive, and it's like water off of a duck's back, you got it. So it was great.
Amen on that. I do believe we have Brother Jerry on the line. Are you there?
Oh. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, good evening. Jerry. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, man. How we doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, doing fantastic. We're just trying to get you up to speed here, Jerry. We were just talking about the wonderful works that happened 2 weeks ago in Branson. Right now, we're just kind of testifying to some deliverances that Kyle had set in on, and as we talk, this forum today is just going to be a frontline report for what we saw in Branson, because we definitely seen a vast majority of the Great Commission happening before our eyes by a group of believers, and coordinated in a way that it was not planned by us. It was all by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, we definitely witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit. I know I was not prepared. I know none of the other men were prepared, and I know you talked about that earlier. It just sort of happened. And I also know that 10 completely different people left Branson than what showed up at Branson.
Amen.
And praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And I had witnessed her baptism earlier in the day, and then she had got a deliverance in the evening. So she had quite a day.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And hopefully, if anyone out there is listening that was happened to be part of deliverance in Branson, one of the things that we had not done that we tried to do, that tried to recommend it with deliverance, is to be able to follow through. So if we didn't get your contact information, and somebody hasn't contacted you to see if everything's going okay, if you had any questions or something, please get a hold of Richard at the office, and he's got my permission, Richard, to hand out my number to anyone that wants to get a hold of me that needs anything to be talked about, or if they want to come on and give their testimony, because the testimony is really so important, because the testimony is what a lot of times will convince people to go through with the process. Because just as Brother Kyle had said, a lot of them were apprehensive. I don't think I've met anyone that was more apprehensive about about it the first time than Brother Jerry. He was a transformed man after he came through deliverance. Gentlemen, feel
well,
free
I was,
to,
I was
to,
the cynic
to go ahead.
I was going there to see how it didn't work, and I got proved wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit seems to be able to do that from time to time, prove us wrong, huh?
quite frequently with me, yes.
Oh. Yes. Jerry, is there anything that sticks out to your mind that you thought about over the past couple days that you want to share with the people out there?
Well, there was a couple things. Like you mentioned earlier, Brother Kyle there, he did the majority of the heavy lifting. Kyle Willis and I from California, we had trouble getting there, so we missed out on the Fridays. I don't know how many you guys did on Friday. I think you guys did two or three. But I noticed on Sunday I sat in on a few of them and helped. It's easier when you're not. It's kind of nice when you're not the actual minister, because you can discern some things and concentrate on other things when you're not actually doing the deliverance, which seemed to help. We got one of the gals, a demon. We got her head demon to speak up, and he had been with her since 1962.
Yeah.
And he had been harassing her for a very long time. What I found interesting about him is his name was Leon. He had a regular name. And I know that there was also a Jacob that was...
Yes.
So that, for some reason, that stuck out in my mind. I'd never heard just the normal names attached to a demon before.
Yes, it is interesting.
I also noticed with all the women, not only the ones that I ministered to there, but all the women that I have ministered to them, every single one of them had abuse in their past.
Yes. Yes.
Which was a big problem for all of them. And it had been a problem their entire life carrying that around. So one thing I would like to say, if you're a woman and you have that in your past, whether you know it or not, or whether you want to admit it, it is having tremendous effects on your life still, no matter what age it happened.
Amen. Amen. We had an article that was shared between the men, and I know that Brother Leon had mentioned it in when he spoke for the body. But science has already shown that trauma can change a man's DNA, the RNA sequence of the DNA that he passes on through his sperm to his children. And I would believe that it won't be long before science will be showing that it happens with women and their eggs and their ovaries, that it changes the DNA as well, too. But the great thing is we have all power and authority over the enemy, and that we can take that power and authority and command that change to get reverse back and line up. And a lot of that will happen through the inner healing. The inner healing process is an amazing process to get doors closed.
That was one of the things that, like Brother Jerry and I, when we worked with, and especially the ladies that we were working with, some of them had a lot of trauma from either family members as close as, siblings and even parents. And just having known that and carrying that burden all along even brought their future relationships problems from, husbands and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And you just, one of the things that I would ask them, because when they would come in, I know one of the ladies came in and she walked not, kind of cripply, not the best, standing up straight, because after deliverance she was walking better. Even her husband was like, is that my wife? Because she's walking normal. And one of the issues I asked was, do you have a lot of back pain? Do you have a lot of neck pain? Joint pain in your hips? Yes, I do. And I said, basically, you're carrying a lot of burdens you have no business carrying. A lot of burdens. And through that inner healing, where you just take all of that pain and all that past, and you just give it up to Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have those burdens. It's not weighing your soul. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Jerry, he was great. Because... he working with him, he was able to really feel those spirits moving through two of those ladies, where you could just sense it was trying to, like, get out. It didn't want to leave. It was trying to hold on to what it could. But the power of the Holy Spirit, you're able to just rip it out and send it to the feet of Jesus, one way only. No transference. So it was, yeah, there's a lot that comes with that.
It was also interesting when we got the one gal, when we did get her head demon to speak, he wouldn't speak on command. The only time he spoke is when we talked in tongues. He got very agitated and would speak. But other than that, he would say nothing. And he actually would never, he never, go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you, we just saying that's interesting. A rash of stubborn demons that just wouldn't speak. And you just, and we just had to, like, cast them out in Jesus' name. Where they wouldn't, they would manifest, but they wouldn't speak to us. Even when we asked the Holy Spirit to unlock their voice and their tongue, just to be, you know, to speak, they, we had a rash of stubborn demons.
Yeah, they were very tough. The one, the little gal, she was trembling, not quite violently, but she was trembling very hard, and he had moved down into her hand, and her hand was shaking wildly. I put the Bible on it, and it calmed down. And when she woke up, she didn't really know what had happened, but she felt that it was in her hand, that something had happened to her hand. But, yeah, he wouldn't, Leon would not speak unless we spoke in tongues. And then he just got aggravated and spit out some words. He never did divulge the lies that he told or any of the demons that were underneath him.
Yeah,
he was quite stubborn.
Well, that reminds me of the testimony that Pastor Cox has given several times, where he had a head demon case, and the demon told him that it hurt, and he hated to hear the person praying to spirit, to pray in a tongue. So that is a tool that the Lord has given us that we can use in our prayer life. And in a situation where we're possibly praying or trying to command a demon to come out, we can speak in that heavenly language, that language of angels that's talked about in the book of Corinthians. And we may not know what it means, but they're obviously interpreting it, and they know what it means.
Yeah. Well, it definitely made him very angry and agitated when we did that. And for whatever we were praying, it forced him to speak. Also,
praise the Lord.
He showed us how the anointing oil worked as well. One of the other gal that Kyle and I and Brother Sean and Neil were there as well. We thought we had it all cleaned out, ready to go, and we were actually, Kyle was anointing her. And when he put his hand on her head and began to pray, she started shaking violently again. That oil got whatever was left in there moving again. So that showed us that the power of the oil, and that also that we had not done a complete work on her.
So well, there's another tool we've been given, is that anointing oil.
What I was going to say
in all of our anointing,
there's times that we'll like do a deliverance, you'll think you have a clear vessel. And you pray, and sometimes that person that you're working on, they might have something that's so deep, so covered up, that it's hard to, like, come out and manifest. And just doing the anointing at the end to finally seal the person with the anointing oil will drive that demon out. So that was a pretty amazing thing. And both, that was an amazing thing.
Yeah, that was the first time
I
saw that.
Well, we do know that. Well, we do know that the actual physical word of the Bible, when we place it on, we'll chase them out. I've witnessed that, and witnessed that done on me, and witnessed it on done on others. And our anointing oil, which has got it's basically got a seed stock from the very first anointing oil from way back, I think it was 2005, when we started using, the ministry started using the anointing oil, and they've always kept that little bit of oil. And at one time, Brother Jason had taken the oil and had the Word of God played into it. He put it on a tape player or some sort of thing with the bottle right there, and had the entire Word of God spoke and read right into that oil. So it's resonating with praise, it's resonating with prayer, and it's resonated with the spoken Word of God.
Well, I can tell you there's five witnesses to a physical deliverance of a woman just by casting out a demon just with oil, just with the anointing of that oil, whatever they did to it worked, because it drove that demon out of her.
Praise the Lord.
So I wanted them to know that as well, that oil that they send out is powerful, and it is working. It is doing what its intended purpose, probably doing more than what they actually intended or thought that it could do.
Well, that's part of that growing, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, because when the ministry introduced it, they were just going to anoint buildings and courthouses, and here we are anointing people and anointing everything with it, just seeing the miraculous works of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I know that.
Well, our training was definitely intense that weekend.
Oh yeah, I know one of the things like you were mentioning before, where we had I know Neil and Brother Sean, that they've witnessed, they've gone through deliverance themselves, and they've witnessed it just observing. And this was a great opportunity for them to get some hands-on experience with it, because I know talking to Brother Sean when I was out there, he said, you know, when they go to Oklahoma City, you usually sit on the side and you'll watch a minister ministering to someone that is needing deliverance, and you don't really get your hands wet. So this was a great opportunity for both of them to, ride the bike with some training wheels, and after they were able to take the training wheels off, they did a great job. I know they worked on another man who, when he came in, he was like, I'm ready for deliverance, filled out the deliverance worksheet, and they worked through him, went through the door closing prayer, they went through breaking ungodly spiritual soul ties, and even worked on the inner healing part with him. One of the things that I do remember with that gentleman, and I know especially that with the lady, that the two ladies that Jerry and I were working with also, and this would be for any deliverance minister, is how important breaking generational ties are, because some of the people that we did come into contact with, they didn't know their families that far off from, let's say, their mom and dad, maybe even their grandparents. And one of the things that really came out that broke, I know one of the ladies that was shaking when we put the anointing oil on her, was it did, when I started saying, was your grandparents or any of your lineage associated with any secret societies or, you know, Freemasonry, Eastern Star, or anything that was satanic, that ended up being one of the things that really manifested at that time. And it's something for any individual, because I know from my grandparents, you know, they were great people and everything, but beyond that, there's nobody here to talk about where they came from or, you know, what did they really do when they were younger. So it really is something that for everybody, just to admit that as a sin, that if my lineage or any of my ancestry had any involvement with secret societies, I confess it as a sin and ask of your forgiveness, Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't know what happened, and it could have been five generations back, and nobody would have known anything. But I did. That was one of the things that did open up to me, was how many people may have had those afflictions based on so many generations back that, well, my grandparents, my dad, they were never part of any secret society, but oaths and any kind of contact might have been made that far back. So that was an interesting thing. And I know also with that gentleman, when we mentioned that and we talked about breaking any kind of secret society oaths or satanic oaths from the past, from generations past, that was the thing that finally broke with him. And that was the one I know Sean and Neil were working on too.
Certainly that most people do not know past their grandparents, let alone the character of the great-grandparents or the great-great. And when we start thinking about the third and fourth generation, that's a lot of people, because everybody has two parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, and 16 great-great. And they are probably not much better than we have been in our lives. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. They could have made some wicked statements that they had no idea what they were doing. They may have made pacts or deals that they had no idea what they were doing. And especially with these secret societies, a lot of people will get into these things and think, oh, it's just a joke. And they speak curses upon themselves and their seeds if they reveal even one secret, one little secret. And how hard is it to not reveal a secret when there's all these things being spoken in behind closed doors, especially like you think about the Masonic Lodge? You're not to reveal anything that goes on there. So if you in casual conversation say, well, me and so-and-so did this at the lodge the other day, boom, you just put a curse of ripping out the tongue and other things. I can't remember everything that's in there upon your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great.
Well, it's interesting that gal that Brother Kyle is speaking of, when she brought it up, she brought it up very casually, and it was very insignificant. Her father had gone to these meetings, and he never took anyone with him. And she, you know, they were meaningless to her, but the further Kyle investigated into it, it brought about a bit of a manifestation, and she got deliverance from it. It was much larger than her mind let her know.
Yeah. And I know, like, just casual conversation with Brother Ralph, like, he was telling me where he particularly lives in Missouri, you were telling me that your relations go way, way back. And
in that county alone,
you don't know what could have happened.
Mm-hmm. And actually, we had did some discerning on some of that, and we're gonna do a show on that, where not only did we cleaned up some vessels and temples of the Holy Spirit with people that were Christians and starting to become Christians, we actually cleaned a property out, and it has to deal with my family, and we're going to bring that as a show. This is kind of a promo, a commercial for it, but we discerned that some things that happened in my family had cursed the very land that the business was on, and has just been a magnet over the years for sin and tragedy.
Yeah, and not to give too much away on that, but just as a little teaser, there were also old souls set free in that place.
Yes. Yes.
Which is very interesting dimension to the whole thing.
Yes, and more on hands training, because I don't know if any of us had even cleaned out a building yet or did the I guess it's called a terraforming for Jesus. If any of you guys had, I didn't catch that. But we definitely got on the job training that evening.
Well, it was new for me, and honestly, you know, I could feel something weird. It was like a bunch of hound dogs sniffing out a rabbit trail, and it took a while, but the Holy Spirit was patient, and it was, as you will hear on that broadcast, it was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the things I can tell you is when I did get back from Missouri, I mean from the Branson area, what went through with that kind of helped me out what I'm dealing with here in my hometown in the greater New Orleans area, because I was working on a particular piece of property, and whatever it was, any person that worked there, including myself, like I had different contractors, subs that were working there, they always felt laggish, down, and everything like that, and I anointed it. And it just, you know, the mood of the room, or like just being there, lightened up. But I really prayed to Lord Jesus Christ, asked the Holy Spirit really to show me what was going on. And it was an area that, you know, New Orleans is a 300-year-old city, a lot of crazy stuff's going over there. And it had some voodoo rites to it. And just having those type of rites still stuck on that land, and Holy Spirit even mentioned to me that when they had the slave traders and all that particular area, that this possibly could have had some souls that were buried there way back in the day that nobody ever knew about. And anybody that worked at that house, it was just, and this is recent, like only like a few days ago, just the whole attitude, just the whole level of energy was like at a null. And I'm going to tell you what I witnessed in Branson kind of prepared me for what I was dealing with this past week with that.
Well, praise the Lord.
It's interesting you say that because it reinforced an event for me. I'd had a dream. In my hometown, there's a hall there. It's called the Memorial Hall. And we play basketball there in grammar school, and mm-hmm. town meetings are there. Or somebody dies in the community, usually there'll be the wake will be there. All sorts of things go on here. And a few years back, I had a dream, a very vivid dream, about physically fighting a demon in this place. I won't go into the ins and outs of it, but it was very vivid. And I just kind of took it as maybe kind of a sifting. I claimed the ownership of being under the ownership of Jesus Christ, and there the dream ended. But what the Spirit has shown me here lately, and it was just a week or two before Branson, where he brought this to my mind, is that you didn't fight that demon there, but that there is something there that needs to be removed. And there's names of fallen. They have plaques from all the people from town, from our little town, who have fallen in Vietnam and other wars in Korea. And it's, I don't know what it is. I haven't dug into it too deep, but there's definitely something very powerful there that has to be dealt with. And that what we did on that property reinforced that to me.
One of the crazy things was in Branson, with that property Ralph was talking about, was it had some flooding that happened. I finished up that particular property to move on from it. The streets were flooding yesterday, and all the streets were full from flash floods because we've been having a lot of storms down here in the southeast region and of the Gulf Coast area, and the streets almost flooded. And there's something spiritually symbolic about the water coming in, and perhaps that's Lord Jesus Christ just a purification, because after it finished, there was two rainbows that were in the sky, and I even have pictures of it, and I can, I'll text it to y'all just to show you. But there is symbolism where what I'm feeling like from the Holy Spirit just speaking to me, that there is going to be a cleansing of this land, and that he is keeping his promise, the rainbow of Genesis.
That is, the spirit of the promise.
And it's just amazing because what I witnessed, just like I said this past week, how much you got to be careful of where you go and where you're at, and really put on that full armor of God, because when we do go into places that we don't know about, we really have to account who was really here before. And I'm not talking maybe a week, a month, or a year, but we got to think in sometimes the context of who was here over 100 years ago and sometimes what was done here.
Yes, we have no idea. Oaths, pacts, rituals, possibly sacrifice. I mean, this entire nation at one time was covered by a godless heathen nations of the Indians, and there's no telling what kind of sacrifices to their false gods, their demon gods, were committed on there. And we know from the history of our people that our people have been on this continent for many, many years, and at the time they were here, some of them weren't Christian people that were on this land. So with the Vikings that came over, the Druids, and all the things that have happened, they were bringing other religions and sacrificing other gods on this land that was given to us by our God. And this terraforming for Jesus, I think, is a powerful tool that we've been shown, that this may be the key to help cleaning out. This may be the key one day for us to clean out everything that's been wickedly done with the DC Street sorcery. So this is definitely an area of the ministry that we were given firsthand on the job training. And I've been sensing that this is going to be a key to help setting our communities free to start our homes, our communities, eventually our counties, our states, and then even the country itself.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you who don't know what Ralph's talking about, if you go to the Deliverance Ministry website, that prayer is in there. That prayer that was prayed over that property, and I, for one, have prayed it over my home when I got home. When we got home from Oklahoma the first time, and I would counsel anybody else to do the same. Yeah. Clean your home out of anything that's, as we found on that property, we found many pictures and things that were conduit. We found lots of items in that place that had to be removed.
Mm-hmm. And that can be found at deliveranceusa.com. That's the ministry website, and you go to probably in the ministry tools. Without bringing it up right real quick, I won't be able to say for sure, but there are many, many prayers that are on there to help you to get by on anything that may be tormenting you. There's the prayer that for those that were maybe in a Masonic lodge or descendants of those that are in a Masonic lodge. There's prayers of healing. There's prayers for praying for someone from a distance. Did we lose somebody?
Did we lose Kyle?
Yeah, I think we did. So
that's all right. Well, Brother Kyle, if you're able to, call back. But all these can be found at deliveranceusa.com. And, of course, there's also the book done by Pastor Cox doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be found at Scriptures for America. You can get a hold of Richard at 307-742-7582 if you're wanting that book. It is a step-by-step process. Do the things that we did 2 weekends ago, and it's really, really simple. It's just, they say a system wins out every time, and you've got 33 years experience, wrote that book and put all of his experience into it. And of course, we've gone out to Oklahoma City and gotten further training, and we're getting just years and years worth of experience from all these ministers who have what they have witnessed at work, what the Holy Spirit's done for them, and we were able to just absorb it. And we took that training. I didn't realize we were going to take that training, but we took that training and did powerful works for Jesus. And 2 weekends ago in Branson.
Yeah. These, like you're saying, these tools work. They actually work. We witnessed them work, and you know, the majority of us before this show came along knew nothing of these things. I know I, for one, knew nothing of other than reading the stories of Jesus casting out demons in the Bible and seeing some crazy stuff in Hollywood. That was all I knew of it. This is spiritual warfare that's been taken away from us, that's been removed from common knowledge. And like you said, these men have been doing it, Brother Jim and Everett. Yeah, Everett's getting close to 40 years now. They've perfected their trade over that time, and these things really do work. They're tried and tested.
Yeah.
Try it and see for yourself.
Amen. Brother Kyle, are you back with us?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm back. I know, like what Brother Jerry was talking about, especially with the conduits, and that's a really big thing where sometimes you may not realize it, because I know I was talking to a gal one time, and she was telling me she was having some issues with an imaginary friend in the house that her young son was playing with and all of that, and it was something of a demonic sort. And I asked her, did you bring any kind of artifact or anything? And she went and picked up something in New Orleans that she thought was really pretty. And I told her what she brought in was a conduit that gave a legal right to that demon to be there. So, I mean, especially with property, just understanding what are the conduits. And if even if you bring something into your home, just, ask Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, is, this something that is righteous and, is it something that could bring in that type of, demonic activity? That's real important.
Just certainly ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's something that's there. That's why this terraforming for Jesus is so powerful, because it goes through and it helps break those things that have been done either by you or those before, And, of course, then you can go as far as sealing it with the anointing oil. I know I've anointed my house plenty of times, and I'm actually ashamed to say that here I am. I watched all that happen, and I have not done the terraforming for my properties, but I think I'm going to remedy that this weekend.
Great. Well, what I noticed at my home and what we did there is it takes their authority or whatever rights that they may have in your home or objects in your home, and that prayer will cut off that authority. It cuts their legs off, and then they're much easier to deal with and remove, just like the door closing prayer prior to deliverance.
And then something else that we witnessed was actually breaking soul ties with the property itself. I know that this property that we're talking about was in my family's. It's part of my family's, and it's been 30 years. And when I walked in with the men, I could not sense anything that these men were talking about. And then one of them discerned that maybe I need to break soul ties with the property. And when I did that, boom, I could feel everything and sense everything they were talking about. So it may be a need for that to happen as well too in your homes, especially if there's been a lot of torment or a lot of torment would be the right word. There's been a lot of emotional hurt and problems and damage that's happened into your family or into it's happened in a home that you're in, that you could actually kind of break the soul ties with the building and with everything that's there, and then that would be able to help you discern.
Yeah. One thing I noticed with the building, as well as with the gals who had gone through abuse, was the spirit of shame was very strong. It was very strong with those women, and it was very strong in that building as well, as lots of other things. But that was one thing that did stand out, was shame.
And luckily, we have a God who became flesh, dwelt among us, and bore everything for us on a cross, so we can take that shame, we can take that guilt, we can take all those curses and hang it right on that tree that Jesus was hung on. Because it says, cursed is he who hung on a tree, is Galatians 3:13, and we can take that. And that's part of that breaking of soul ties. That's part of the inner healing. And in the inner healing, you stand upon the promise of 1 Peter 5:7, where you cast all your anxiety, is what the New American Standard says. I believe the King James says, all your cares. And he'll take them. Jesus will take them. If you hand them to him, he'll take them, because he did that for us. He did that so we could have freedom. He did that so we could have liberty. He did that and bore that so we would not be held under that curse of the law anymore. And that shame was a curse of the law. And praise God, that shame was taken away.
Amen. Praise Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we're wrapping up to the last 5 or 6 minutes, gentlemen. If there's anything that the Spirit's leading you to say, feel free to talk about it.
I just, Holy Spirit just says, I want to thank Lord Jesus Christ for just being a vessel to do this, set captives free. One of the most important things I learned is it's not only just setting people free, but it's also setting the lands free. And by setting the land free, you can alleviate a lot of different torment, a lot of different pain that happens. And I'm just thrilled that, you know, I can be such a one, you know, just be a vessel for this. So praise Jesus.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
Yeah, what I get is pretty similar. And not only, you know, going through deliverance yourself, you get yourself cleaned out, set free, and you also able to hear the Holy Spirit much better, much better. Your walk will be much brisker, much clearer. But I was getting very frustrated because I would pray a lot to do more. I never felt like I did enough for the kingdom. And then after you become a minister and minister deliverance to someone, to see the change that you can bring about in a person's life through the power of Jesus Christ, is just, you want to feel good. Brother Everett talks about it all the time, and He doesn't look his age. Certainly, it is from all the joy that he has got from setting people free. There's quite a quite an ecstasy, quite a joy that comes from seeing the change come about in people and watching the demons, you know, kicking them down the street. Especially,
amen.
You know, someone who was tormented by them, and then you get to take the upper hand and now drop the hammer on them. It is quite satisfying as well.
It is. It's I like the thrill of the chase. Is you know, they said the bird dogs or the rabbit dogs on the rabbit. That's almost when you get into it, and you've got that demon on the ropes. The talk about feeling the power of Luke 10:19, and understanding it. I guess that's from man's perspective. That we're hunters. We like the thrill. We like the chase. We like the adventure. And we definitely got high adventure that weekend in Branson.
Oh, yeah.
Again, that is the book is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. That can be had at Scriptures for America. The website is deliveranceusa.com. Every tool that you need to accomplish these things are in the book or on the website. There's videos for training. There's the plan to take yourself through self-ministry. And self-ministry is important. I've had to, it's kind of like maintaining your car. You still got to change your oil. You got to make sure your brakes are okay, all your fluids and stuff. You just can't stand upon your baptism, stand upon your deliverance and say, okay, things are free and I'm fine. You have to maintain. And I know that there's been several times in my life I just had to go back and break soul ties with people. And it's those tools are there and you're able to go through it. Say the door closing prayer if there's been something there that shouldn't be there. Say it, and I think that's one of the keys to why Pastor Everett is so youthful. Is he leads people through that door closing prayers several times a week, and as he is leading them through it, he's speaking to himself. So if there's a testimony to somebody through youth and vitality, he is definitely one. And I just give praise to Jesus that he led us to him to be taught for this, and that we're able to take this, take it also with the knowledge and truth that we have had with the Israel truth, that we're going to be able to set we're truly going to finally be able to do the things that Jesus commanded us to do in the Great Commission, and we're going to set this country free, and when this country is set free, we will set this world free.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Well, guys, we're out of time.
Richard, are we about out of time?
We are.
Yes.
All right. Thanks,
gentlemen,
guys.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you all. God bless. Thank you all. Good night.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope